This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
It's defense time. It's man football. Real men. Real men score
you
0 points.
Man football?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
real men win 3-0.
We do have a football game tonight.
Unfortunately, no rain.
Oh, man.
I know. That would have really taken this game down a notch.
If we could have got, like, some sleet.
Actually, hey, Fookland, this is important that you know. This is crazy.
Don't tell these people.
I'm telling the
Don't
people.
Don't tell people what we've done.
I'm telling the people what we've done so they're taking root with us and we can enjoy Thursday Night Football tonight. In the most important league, champ league, Mike and I co-manage a team and are the defending back-to-back-to-back champions, we're playing for the bye. This is an important week for us.
Yep.
And we have four quarterbacks on our roster. Kyler, he's on bye.
Yeah.
Derek Carr, probably not going to play. Joe Burrow, he's done. And who else? Well, someone else. But then we had to pick up the only guy left
Mac,
in a
dynasty. It was Mac Jones.
Oh, Mac Jones.
Yeah.
The only guy left on waivers, Mitchell Trubisky, baby.
Just admit, you spent 95 fab on him.
No, we had to have a quarterback. And
we were correct because the entire league conspired against us.
Everyone.
To add all the quarterbacks. People not involved in it were adding quarterbacks, which I commend you
the
move.
I always enjoy most important league season for you guys.
Yeah.
Because that just means that you are not fighting me in my important leagues.
Yeah.
Because you've moved past them.
Yeah. You know, we have elevated beyond.
Yeah, you've moved beyond. Yeah,
we've ascended. Mm-hmm. We have reached nirvana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, Fookland, go Mitchell Trubisky. Root with us.
It will
what
be.
What could go
there
wrong?
There will be a football game tonight. Pay no mind to the fact the over-under is the lowest in decades. You said it's defense time.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense is going to have a lot of help from their offenses.
We just need the Steelers defense to get an interception and take the ball down to like the 7.
Yeah, not too close.
No, not too close.
Would you call a 16-15 game like exciting?
Is that two tutties for Trubisky?
I'm just asking. 16-15, is that what you would normally classify as an exciting football game?
No.
That would hit the over.
It could. You can have an exciting low scoring game
at the end of the game, sure.
Yeah.
Like I'm
saying, like, as long as there's big plays and fun things happening, you know.
I would not expect either of you to appreciate a defensive battle in any capacity.
Thank you.
Because you also don't appreciate outdoor football.
Thank you.
Which, I mean, the real argument for outdoor football, to be fair, it's the fans in the stands that make it fun.
Right.
That's an experience.
Sure.
I will definitely admit that, like, for fantasy, it's awful.
Right.
You know what they should do?
What?
They should build a roof that has, like, an open ring. Yeah. Around the stand, so like protect the players.
Wait, so you're the over no rain straight down, but
no
the
rain on
fans
the field,
get
but the
on?
Fans get just just Dallas? Snowed on.
Yeah, you know, and what's great when you have a multi-billion dollar product, cater it to like 0.0001% of the people who are watching the game.
Yeah.
That's good business.
Have you guys considered petitioning for like maybe only letting four or five defensive players on the field?
I've thought about it.
Yeah, I assume have. You have.
I've thought about it. I've thought about less.
And what about like every touchdown? Every touchdown's were like 500 points.
No, see, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, what a stupid
scoring
comment.
The scoring of football is great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Mega Bowl, the playoffs, Jason. You wanted to let people know what's going on.
Yeah, so if you are playing in the Mega Bowl, which I'm sure you are, if you're not, hopefully you get in next year. That is our humongous megalodon-sized tournament. And the playoffs will be starting, like all leagues, this coming week. But there is a difference. Our waivers lock in this, so you need to be prepared. And I want to make sure everyone that is moving on to the playoffs knows you will not be able to make waiver transactions in the playoffs. So maybe pick up a backup quarterback if you so want, or your insurance running back, or someone else's insurance.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Or Mitchell Trubisky, you know, the hero that we never saw coming.
The hero we need.
And then if you're curious who makes the playoffs, every single league, the top three seeds in your league move on to the playoffs. You could find all the information, all the rules, all the scoring, the leaderboard at megalobowl.com. We try to make it very, very easy. We've got all the messaging up there, the alerts. But we want you to be aware and not caught off guard.
Also, special shout out to the only undefeated Megalobowl team.
Ooh. Is it me?
No.
Megahertz.
Okay.
26-0-0. So how many teams do you know the count on the top of your head? How many teams were in the league?
Oh, in the league? Around 20,000.
Around 20,000. One undefeated team heading into or nearly heading into the fantasy playoffs.
And I'll bet he doesn't win it. I'm gonna take the field.
Well, look, it's a good bet on the field. It won't be 20,000, but it'll be thousands. So check that out, megalobowl.com, for all the details. Don't say we didn't warn you, right? Isn't that part of this?
That is part of this, and the winner is in our listener league next year. I will do my best to win it so that we open up another spot. Andy, you are doing your best to win our actual listener league so that you open up another spot for the Foot Clan.
I'm working on it.
Oh, it's good, because I'm doing my worst.
You're doing you're thinking of the eventual winner.
Yeah, no, I
otherwise that
I
might
told
be,
my team to lay down. So that's the only reason
only
why
path to most important.
Still the
league.
Reason it's not competitive right now.
All right, let's jump into the news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Do we have some, hold on. Zach Wilson.
Hey, that's our music.
Zach Wilson has been announced as the starting quarterback this week and moving forward.
I mean, it had to be done. Everything that the Jets have done, right, with the players that they have available, I believe everything that they have done needed to be done. Well, the second Tim Boyle start, I don't think needed to happen. So, pretty close. But the point being, Zach Wilson was an anchor upon this offense. It was not working out. You had to try something different. Just, I mean, if nothing else to satisfy some public pressure, you show them that your backup quarterbacks are not the answer, and now we put who is, I guess, the best option for them back in.
The real way to do it would have been to play all their backups like one quarter at a time. Just go like one quarter, another quarter, another quarter, and then they're done. It's like one game you prove to the fans that, no, Zach's actually the best we have.
At what point would Breece Hall become their best quarterback? Like run a system.
Miami system?
Yeah, exactly.
The old Wildcat?
Exactly. Run a Wildcat system. Run the ball all the time. Little dump offs over the line.
I think they're trying to run it all the time.
Ah, that's true. They don't have an offensive line.
The Saints updates, injury-wise, Derek Carr limited at practice, remains in protocol, but it was being reported he was making every throw. Like, there's a decent chance Carr plays. Taysom Hill did not practice, foot and hand injuries. That goes to Wednesday's practice, so there's a little worry there with Taysom Hill.
Yeah, we'll see.
Josh Dobbs gets the start for the Vikings.
All right.
Justin Jefferson, full participant in practice.
He's back. TBD what he can do with Josh Dobbs, but we've seen decent games for Hockenson and Addison, and we know Justin Jefferson is better, so he should probably be in most lineups.
Isaiah Pacheco did not practice Wednesday, yeah. And what I didn't like is the comment from head coach Andy Reid saying he's being checked out by the team, as though there was maybe more to the story. So we'll monitor that. Pacheco's been on fire. That would be a big loss.
Yeah, a massive loss. But we get to say Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Johnny Taylor this week. So that's always fun.
Oh, man.
I keep track of those.
We're
at like three, I think.
Yeah, to explain that, they were drafted together.
Yeah.
And so any week where Clyde is somehow the choice,
yeah.
Mike is rejoicing, or maybe, you know, it's a small bit of ointment on the burn of making the wrong selection.
A very small bit.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny.
You're putting Neosporin on a decapitation. It's not going to help.
Yeah.
It's not going to make you feel good.
Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert expects to play this week. Full practice participant.
Okay.
Welcome back, Dallas Goedert. That's big.
Would you start him, Andy? I know you at one point earlier this week thought, like, yes, he should go right back in your lineup. Do you still feel that way? Like, people who've been holding on to him having tight end trouble.
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's an of course this week against Dallas. I would. I mean, I thought about him as a start of the week before we got this announcement. The tight end, you know, it's tough in the tight end streets. We know.
Sure.
That. Dawson Knox, the 21-day window open for the Bills.
I guess we could save it for the actual Eagles breakdown, but I wanted to talk about Devonta Smith with Goddard coming back. So we'll put a pin in that.
All right. A little tease there. Mike's got stuff to say. Hang in there. He'll say it later. Dawson Knox could play this week. We'll see. 21-day window open.
So how you feeling about your Dalton Kincaid, Andy?
Decent this week and slowly declining in optimism. Although I think when you have a player that's involved themselves as much as Kincaid, hopefully the snaps or the targets can be like there's a higher baseline than before the injury.
Mm-hmm.
But nervous. Really nervous, actually.
Yeah, it would be. Kyle has dug up some information, but it would be an upgrade for Stephon Diggs, who has performed better when they are running 12 personnel.
Darren Waller expects to return to practice next week, hopes to play in week 15 against the Saints. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Would you play him?
No, not the first week back. This is a hamstring injury that he's re-aggravated already. I need to watch him play a full game.
And Najee Harris, questionable, but expected to play for tonight's game. And they already announced Pop Douglas out. Devontae Parker, questionable for the football game we're going to watch tonight.
Go, yep. Trubs. Team Trubs.
Team Trubs.
Team Trubs is in Trubs.
Nah. That's destiny, Mike.
That was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at USAA.com/insurance.
Fantasy Forecast.
The final two byes. Cardinals, Commanders, not playing football this week. Everybody else is. Starting with the 5-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, traveling to take on the 6-6 Atlanta Falcons. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Atlanta -1. Over-unders 39.5. We had a pretty impressive couple of weeks from Bijan against Arizona and New Orleans last week. Expected more from his matchup against the Jets. He was just 2.9 a carry. I think it was one of his worst games of the year on the ground efficiency-wise. But you're obviously playing Bijan. Expectations should still be high. Tyler Algier had his season low in snaps last week.
Yeah, I think Bijan is someone that you've got to start, but this isn't a good matchup. Schedule adjusted, the Buccaneers are second against the run, and they're really bad against wide receivers. So this is a pass funnel defense. Thankfully, Bijan is a very good pass catcher, so hopefully he gets involved and gets the targets. That's where his fantasy day is going to be fine. If he doesn't get those, he probably doesn't get much on the ground, and Tyler Algier is not someone you can obviously play.
What about the wide receiver matchup for Drake London? In all but three games this year, you would have been unhappy to have played him. Obviously, he's a capable receiver. We haven't seen the target numbers up where they were earlier in the year. Any confidence in playing Drake London this week?
Yeah,
I do. This is a matchup we've been targeting. The Bucs, 28th on the season, adjusting for points for the wide receiver position, and 29th in the last 6 weeks. So the trend does not betray the season total. And I think that Drake London is a fine flex play this week.
He was 6 for 54 against these Buccaneers in week 7.
Mm-hmm.
If you got that, it wouldn't kill your week.
That's fine for a flex.
Yeah, and 2 weeks ago, he was 5 for 91, which was very good. Last week was the Jets. You're not going to expect wide receivers to do great against the Jets. I think you forgive that. This is a good matchup, and it's worth noting, I know all you strong men out there will be upset, but it's in a dome. And this week's weather is worse than last week's. A lot of rain and, more importantly, a lot of wind. So you've got some matchup worries to keep in mind this week. So I think Drake London is completely in play. And like you said, you'd be happy 3 times, I think probably 4 times this season that you've played him. I think this week will be another happy moment.
On the other side of the ball, Rashad White is a lock. Of course, he's the RB6 on the year. His opportunities are always there.
He is. He's up against it this week.
It's a tough matchup for running backs, but Rashad White is kind of their second-best wide receiver. I mean, Mike Evans, he's a lock. White, you just play him.
Mm-hmm.
I would be curious when they played earlier in the season. I'm looking that up.
So, ATL, he was 19 opportunities, 13 for 34 on the ground.
Gross.
Six for 65 through the year.
Yeah. That's where it is. That's where
you can't look at him like a straight
running
back.
Exactly. That's where Rashad White is. He is, again, I think he's still up against it, but he should catch, what, four-plus passes?
Mike Evans, averaging 84 receiving yards per game. He's a lock. Anybody else that you're interested in? I mean, Chris Godwin hasn't been a top 36 wideout since week 7.
He caught a touchdown last week, thank goodness, but no, he has not proven anything from just simply catching a touchdown. He's been bad all year. I don't think you start him. This matchup's pretty simple. It's Mike Evans, Rashad White, Bijan, and then I believe Drake London. Mike and I believe Drake London.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Detroit, 9-3, taking on the 4-8 Chicago Bears. I'm going to make Jason the weatherman today. Sound the alarm on some of these. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Detroit -3.5. The over-under is 43.5. It's been bet down to 40.5 and then back up to 43.5. So I don't know if that is literally like someone's watching the Doppler.
it could be. I think there's a lot of concerns about weather this weekend. Right now, and obviously this any weather we're giving you on Thursday for Sunday is subject to change. But make sure you pay attention to Sunday Live with Mike. Subscribe to this so that you get the alert, the notification, when we go live.
That's on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube. But this looks like there won't be rain. Right now it's 6% chance of rain, but 13-mile-an-hour winds, that should be okay. Like, I don't look at this as one where you've got to worry too much about the weather.
It is interesting, I think, that the line is just Detroit -3.5. For a 9-3 team that's played pretty well, obviously they jumped all over the Saints, survived last week. I guess I'm a little surprised that line is not bigger.
Really? I mean, divisional game on the road, and the Lions, even they are 9-3. They can be a great team, but they can also be just really mid.
These two teams played a couple weeks ago. The Lions did win, but only by 5 points, and they were at home. So I think the line makes sense. And honestly, the Chicago Bears defense has looked much improved. I think that they are not just a dumpster fire the way that they have been over the last few seasons. I don't look at the Bears as some smash matchup for my opponents across the board anymore.
Gave up only 10 points to Minnesota. They did give up 31 to these Lions that 2 weeks ago, like you mentioned. Jared Goff, how are you feeling about Goff this week on the road in Chicago? About the way you always feel about Jared Goff?
Yeah.
Like it should go right, but you also know he likes to slip on banana peels from time to time.
And throw interceptions directly to opposing players. He's fine. He's a top 12 quarterback.
Is that considered an efficient interception? If you throw it directly
right to the opposing quarterback.
Yeah, like the most efficient interception throw in the league.
I did not make him work for this.
Right.
I mean, it probably feels better than when the wide receiver tips it.
I like the idea.
Because they get to do the thing where they run out the field like, oh, no, that's my bad, guys. I was the one who threw the ball directly to the defender.
Oh, because they get to tap their chest and say that's on me?
Make you feel worse?
No, because it's like, look, I made a mistake, but I owned that mistake. So you don't get to say crap to me.
I like the idea of a player realizing that they, on average, throw an interception every, you know, like 65 pass attempts. And when they reach, when they're getting close, they just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Reset the timer.
They want to reset the timer. That's about like, how fantasy players look at the sport.
Like days since accident.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm going to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, play them both.
Both.
You play them both. Where are you in terms of which running back between the two is going to make a bigger fantasy impact in the playoffs?
In the fantasy playoffs?
Yeah. What's your gut?
My gut is that David Montgomery is going to be the more consistent guy, have more touchdowns. You know, we've seen it both ways, right? Last year with DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, we saw Jamal Williams be a top 10 running back because when they get inside the five, they get the touchdowns. We have seen Jahmyr Gibbs more involved inside the five. I know one of those was – it was called to be David Montgomery.
We call it a courtesy.
Right, and David Montgomery's like, hey, you want this? You want this? You
hey, go little get bro. It.
But we've also seen him called, the Jahmyr Gibbs number called inside the five now since that point. So I think it's pretty close, 55-45, but I still lean the David Montgomery side for consistency. I think he has a I think he just has more touchdowns.
Okay.
What are we doing?
And it's a revenge game this week. So.
Sure. Are we doing anything with the Bears running backs? Deonta Foreman was a full practice on Wednesday. He had been their workhorse running back, a pretty successful fantasy running back while Khalil Herbert was hurt.
Herbert was
coming back. It looked like it was still going to be Foreman at least for a little bit, and then Foreman, of course, got hurt.
And then Roschon looked great. Went out, played 74% of the snaps, was the running back 21 in a victory. Like, Roschon was starting to really excite me as a waiver wire pickup. And then with Deonta Foreman practicing in full, it's like, I could see Deonta Foreman coming out and just being given back the starting role that he was succeeding at. And I could see Roschon having that role. I don't think you could play any Bear unless you know someone at the organization who can tell you who is the starter. I it could be any of those three guys. I would order it.
Yeah, that's
Roschon,
what I want.
Herbert, Foreman, just because he's coming back from the injury, but I don't know.
They're a schizophrenic team as a whole. And then you add in multiple running back options. DJ Moore, you play.
Oh, yeah.
Amon Ra, you play.
Yeah.
If you want to take a chance, do you go – let me bring Jameson Williams' name up. Obviously a very explosive player, one of the fastest in the game. You saw him on the end-around touchdown last week. It was the only play of relevance for him in that game. He barely had opportunities. Now he's out on the field over 50% of the time. Would you play him and the boom potential?
Uh-huh.
Or would you play the actual opposite? Like if you looked up the opposite of Jameson Williams in a book, Robert Woods for the Houston Texans with the absence of Tank Dell at this point.
I would lean towards Woods.
Houston's playing the Jets.
I was going to go Woods until I remember the
matchup.
I'm
going to go Woods still.
I'll go Jameson Williams, hope for the upside. However, a very, very similar, I think, if you're wanting to play Jameson Williams, it's because you're looking for a high potential boom option that maybe can hit and be something relevant going forward. So let me ask you, Jameson Williams or Jalen Hyatt, another similar archetype player coming off the bye where you see that post-bye rookie bump maybe?
I'm fine. I think they're very similar. Both of them I like more than Woods just in the fact that if a game script goes a certain direction, like one play gets you a full allotment of like output in fantasy, whereas Robert Woods is not going to do that on one play. I guess I lean Hyatt a little bit.
I think I do as well.
But they're very similar. Both tight ends very much in play this week. Laporta is a stone-cold lock. You could probably lock him in your lineup now and then like set the expiration of that lock for about 10 years because I think
like
he's going to be that kind of a tight end. And then Cole Kmet, great opportunity for him. We'll see if Justin Fields can get it going this week. It's been a bit slow for him as a passer since coming back from the injury.
Yeah, yep. I think most people are, if you've got Kmet, you're going to be starting him.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with the Colts Bengals. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners. to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Indianapolis, 7-5, traveling to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, who are 6-6 at this point. The DK Sportsbook line, Indy, -1 on the road. The over-under is 44 points. And here we are. What's interesting is that before Monday Night Football, this game line was 40.5. And Jake Browning's performance in that game altered the line significantly.
That's a huge move.
Yeah, and it is indicative of, like, you know, I think the ceiling rose for all of the Cincinnati Bengals fantasy options. Like, I don't think people went into Monday night not expecting Ja'Marr Chase to have that performance, not expecting Joe Mixon to have that performance, not expecting Jake Browning certainly to go 32 for 37. So, you know, from a fantasy perspective, this game is exciting because Indianapolis games are generally jam-packed with fantasy production.
Yeah.
A lot of opportunities for both offenses.
Only four times this year has Indy not hit the over. So this is, you know, a game you expect a good back-and-forth affair. I'm really, really, like, all eyes this week are going to be on Jake Browning, because is he banana-ramming us with one performance that just looks like, oh, man, he's got it? You know, it's really hard with a guy like Jake Browning that we've seen struggle already, play poorly, and then have that kind of performance to just buy in completely and say, well, that is who he is now. I need back-to-back performances before I'm completely convinced, but I'm excited. He looked fully legit. Did you know that was their highest yardage total of the season? More than any game that they had with Joe Burrow?
Yeah. I did not know that. I would not have expected
it's
that.
It's impressive. I mean, Burrow, remember the season. Burrow was awful to begin the year, and then we really only had just a few games where it was like, okay, Burrow is back.
Okay. Gardner, couple of good weeks. Yeah, I mean, not great.
Yep, you could stream him, though.
Throws the ball a ton. Michael Pittman is a PPR lock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My guy Zach Moss, I know he had a bad week last week, but when you're that good, you lock him in. Yeah, and the matchup is actually good. Tennessee last week, you brought it up, I think, yesterday, Andy. It's like sometimes Tennessee comes and just shuts down running backs. Sometimes they've given up big performances. You kind of never know which version of their defense is arriving. But The Bengals defense has pretty much been subject to assault from running backs for most of the season.
All right. So what are the questionable plays here? T. Higgins and Josh Downs?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Let's start with T. Higgins. So we've laid out the offensive output. You kind of want pieces of this game. Three targets, 78% of the snaps. I don't know that I'd want to force T. Higgins in. Let me give you guys some names here. So let's go T. Higgins or let's start at Jaden Reed against the Giants. Good matchup.
I'm going to stick with Jaden Reed.
I'll play Higgins.
Okay. Higgins or Deontay. I mean, it's quick because it's tonight, but Deontay Johnson against the Pats tonight.
Higgins.
Yeah, I would go Higgins.
All right. And then I'll give you one more. It's probably not, I don't know if Andy's in, but Elijah Moore.
Ooh, I'm out.
You're out?
Higgins.
Higgins.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like my position on Elijah Moore is that he needs 62 targets to reach a normal output of fantasy production.
He might get 62 targets this week.
I don't know. Did we mention that Amari Cooper is progressing through the
He's still in concussion,
concussion protocol.
As is DTR. He's been practicing, which is a good sign for his availability. He has not cleared concussion protocol yet, but
it is worth noting that he's not practicing with the ones, though.
Yeah,
Joe Flacco is practicing with the ones.
He is. At this point, I expect it will be Flacco this week.
Josh Downs has only caught 8 of 18 targets the last 2 weeks. You know, he's
in for me. The volume is there.
It's been rough, man. One for 10, groaning. 2 for 40, 5 for 43.
Yeah,
I guess there were some injuries in those
two
games.
I've been playing them, and it hasn't been feeling very
good.
I'm
okay with Josh Downs. I'd play him over Deontay.
Yeah, I would as well. Hopefully the weather is okay. Right now it looks like 32% chance of rain and about 13, 14 mile an hour winds. So this is just one of those, like a lot of these more East Coast or Midwest stadium games, you've got to pay attention and make changes on Sunday based on the weather.
All right, let's turn the page. Jacksonville 8-4 taking on the aforementioned Joe Flacco, potentially led Cleveland Browns, 7-5. The Browns are 7-5. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, oh gosh.
Yeah, we're giving tonight's game a run for the money.
It's 30.5.
That's called C.J. Beathard v. Joe Flacco.
And
Cleveland minus 3.5.
We got a weather game here?
Yeah, this one is looking bad. 17-mile-an-hour winds expected.
Oh.
60% chance of rain. So
gusts at 25.
Yeah, anytime you get above 15-mile-an-hour winds, that's where the passing game is very, very difficult. You'll see them run the ball more. You know, you could have a good Jerome Ford game, a good Travis Etienne game. Maybe, but you don't expect a lot of points here, and you don't want to put in your receiving options in a game like this if they're questionable. Like, you know, Zay Jones, Elijah Moore. Those are guys that on a normal week I'd be like, yeah, maybe they're going to be okay. They're a spot start, but you add in the weather and you're just making bets on probability. I would bet that it doesn't go well for fantasy for them.
Yeah, I think you can play Jerome Ford. I did have a funny insight yesterday. I went back and I looked at our league of record draft board from before the season. And I wrote a note on my whiteboard because we do our 10 things to remember. And for this year at least, like any running backs late were awful. And Jerome Ford was one of the few diamonds to be found. Like, in a list, like before Jerome Ford, Bigsby.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams, Deion Jackson, Jerick McKinnon, Kendre Miller, Rashad Penny, Ty Chandler, Tyler Allgeier, Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson. Those are all players that went before Jerome Ford.
Yeah, and you're just searching for you're just taking some scratchers in case there's
but
an injury.
It wasn't that late in our draft is my point.
This was
like beyond the big names of the draft. These were the scratchers people were taking, and I just read you all failures.
So
minus Jerome Ford, and he is one that has actually produced
He is,
but he was the beneficiary of the major injury. So.
And he is so bizarre to me because looking back, I mean, he has been very capable for fantasy here. You know, the last five games averaging double digits in a half-point scoring format. But his opportunities seem to be going down. Like last week was, if you remember, it was the 24-yard receiving touchdown. That was a little bit of a fluky play. Because it happened. It's them playing the game of take a play away. But other than that, he was atrocious against the Rams. 9 for 19 on the ground. Some other guys like Pierre Strong getting more involved on passing downs. So I have my concerns with Jerome Ford. I don't know that in the landscape that those are enough to take him out of a starting roster.
He's a low end RB2, so he's probably going to be
still
starting.
And that's RB2-ish.
I mean, he's the running back 20 on the season, and that's about what he finishes almost every single week.
Didn't he have like three straight weeks with the exact same fantasy points or something?
I don't remember that, but I mean, I could tell you, I'm looking at his box scores. He was the running back 14, 23, 17, 23, 17, bad week, 10, 22. He's just always like, he's not great. He's not winning you a week, but when you're needing someone that's going to go out there and score 10 points at the running back position and have PPR scoring, he seems to get the job done.
Kareem Hunt is not practicing. That's worth mentioning.
Yeah, like, it is.
The groin injury for Kareem Hunt. He's only played 35% of snaps, 26% of snaps. Maybe it's not that significant if Strong's getting worked in, but worth paying attention to. Amari Cooper, still in protocol. If Amari Cooper's available, it would seem he's a good start against a weak Jaguars wide receiver defense.
It's part of why I'm anticipating the Cooper to be out because of the history of this year has been – far more often than not, a concussion knocks a guy out for a week. But
last week, we just saw Chris Olave play.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but the majority of players have, when there's been a concussion, they've missed at least a week. A few outliers have gotten back in. But the matchup against this Jags team, part of Browning's success last week was the fact that this defense has little interest in stopping the passing game. So Elijah Moore with Joe Flacco, without Cooper, to me, is... I think there's some real upside. Real downside as well, but actual upside.
David Njoku, last week was not the one that ended up with the big numbers at tight end. It was Harrison Bryant, but he did have six targets. I still think there should be optimism around him. Obviously, Vegas doesn't see Trevor Lawrence playing. It's an uphill battle for Lawrence. Potentially doesn't see Cooper playing. You have injuries on both sides of the ball. So that's the landscape. It's a risky game with an over-under like that. Cleveland is favored. They are at home. And
in this wind, I don't believe I'm playing any Jaguar receiver. I'm not going to play. If Trevor Lawrence isn't there, C.J. Beathard against a good
Denzel Ward's practicing, by the way.
A good Cleveland Browns defense. Cleveland has played much, much better at home as well in bad weather. C.J. Beathard's throwing for 125 yards. I'm not splitting that up with my pass catchers. So Travis Etienne is in, and then that's it for me on the Jags side.
No Etienne Ingram is the end?
I think I would look elsewhere for Ingram.
Are you forgetting the super weather game where Ingram...
That was his game of the year.
Everybody, which was 100%
right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, 99% correct because Evan Engram had a dominant game.
I'd play Engram in this game.
I don't mind that. Close to the line of scrimmage, the dump offs, the only passes that are going to work. That is fair. That game last year, looking this up, that was when Evan Engram had 15 targets, was 11 for 162 and 2, and no other player did anything.
Let's just throw one more thing out there. If Lawrence was activated, would it change your opinion on Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley?
Yes.
I'd probably incorrectly put Ridley into my lineup if Trevor Lawrence was active. So I hope he makes it easy on us.
Heal up.
All right. The Carolina Panthers are 1-11, and they travel to New Orleans to take on the reeling New Orleans Saints, who got booed last week, 5-7. Three straight losses. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, New Orleans -5. The over-under is 37.5.
Did you?
Andy's Almost Upset of the Week.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Did you follow the Michael Thomas drama?
I know he tweeted some things about Derek Carr.
Yeah, he tweeted that, I don't remember the exact, so I'm paraphrasing, but essentially it was, when your eyes don't work, you get players hurt.
Yeah, I watched...
which we've had multiple receivers getting hurt, because seemingly looking like because it was a bad pass.
Yeah, I did a deep dive on New Orleans kind of situation this past week. I listened to a 10-minute interview with Alvin Kamara, and he was really candid, and he was definitely secretly saying the problem is with the coaching staff.
Ooh.
Mostly just saying, like, I love our locker room, I love our players. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Like, he,
yeah,
and he's,
yeah,
a, yeah, he's, yeah, such a like, he's a good interview. He always has been.
Was, yeah, he like, I miss Sean Payton?
Yeah, not quite, but he did talk about Michael Thomas's comments. He's like, I know how that guy ticks. He's like, if he wants to put that stuff out there, that's cool. Like, it is what it is. I mean, at this point, Kamara is, he's a lock every week. He's playing great football. He's the RB9 on the year despite missing 3 weeks with the suspension. You know, Kamara is a player that can win people championships if the ball bounces the right way.
Oh, for sure. I mean, so far on the course of the season, he hasn't finished outside of an RB2 a single time. He's only finished as an RB2, not an RB1, 3 of his games. He's been outstanding.
The you know, it's a divisional game. One of the reasons I'm making it my almost upset. Carolina played more competitively, tried some new things last week. They only lost by 3 points to the Saints when they were at home in week 2. I don't know. The Saints are just kind of reeling. And the chance that Derek Carr doesn't play, or if he plays, gets knocked out. And if he gets knocked out, it's Jameis Winston. There's just some, you know, they should win. They should win by a billion points at home against Carolina. But
should.
Three straight, yeah, weeks of implosions for this team. You know, they have injuries. Taysom Hill might not even be available. It's just not a good vibe for really either of these teams, but the Saints are reeling.
Yeah, so I think the question becomes, you know, on the Panther side of the ball, does that mean can you play anyone with confidence? Chuba, RB11, RB6 the last 2 weeks. With the new coaching staff, Miles Sanders, who was being involved, you know, was getting like 14, 15 carries a game. He was the backup to Chuba, and it was Chuba's, you know, show. Over the last 6 weeks, you know, the Saints have not been good at stopping the run. They're 25th, giving up over 20 fantasy points a game to the running back position. I feel like Chuba is a decent
RB2. It's a Chuba lock. You play Chuba.
Wow.
I'm okay with it.
It's the first ever Chuba lock.
But that's it.
Yeah, you can't start Adam Thielen or Mingo?
Well, you can do whatever you want, man. But
you hope that you don't have
there's
to.
There's no rule.
It's a terrible matchup for the wide receivers. It's a roulette of sadness in Carolina at wide out. So, you know, I'm paying attention to Mingo. Like, yeah, Mike mentioned at the beginning of the week, like, he plays every down.
He's a stash for the weekend.
Yeah, just don't jump every time you catch the football.
Yep. It feels a little gross to ask, but is Olave a must play still?
Yeah.
He is to me, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really tough defense here. The Panthers third against wide receivers when adjusting for points or for schedule.
Again, this is like the Texans last year, where it's not that the defense is great. It's that you don't usually need to throw the ball. You just keep running the ball. It's easy to run. You've got a lead. So that's why Kamara is an absolute great play. But,
well, I'm saying, like, if
Olave, 7 straight games of 8 or more targets.
If somehow it is Derek Carr, does that change your...
No, either way. Jameis or Derek Carr, okay. Olave's locked in.
Yeah. Do we know if Rashid Shaheed will be available?
I see a questionable
doubt
play.
It. Olave or Puka this week? Puka.
Olave. Puka is in Baltimore.
With his injury.
He's fine. He said he's got no problem.
I know
it's just
he's
a
good.
Flesh wound.
But the weather is terrible in Baltimore. So this is that's a game with 19 mile an hour sustained winds, probable rain, bad weather, great defense stinks. On the road. Puka
maybe.
Puka is.
You saying maybe to the weather?
Yeah, I'm saying maybe to the weather.
All sure, right. sure. Maybe. Yeah. Check back on Sunday.
Little maybe. If Taysom misses Juwan Johnson goose last week, probably not worth the gamble.
That was so disappointing.
Yeah, probably not worth the dance. And then I think we're done talking there.
Yep. I hope so.
I don't think we have any more. Olave or Sutton?
Sutton.
That's Houston, right? No, that was last week. Who does
Chargers?
Chargers. Thank you.
Yeah, it's juicy. Oh man.
Yeah, let's just. You guys just want to like have a moment here and accept Courtland Sutton into the. Do you just want to accept him into the universe? You accepted him before it was.
Yeah, there's
okay.
All my comments about Courtland Sutton just are. He really hurt me. Last year.
Let's be clear. The dude makes three or four ridiculously stupid plays every week.
Yeah, but he was doing that last year, except not having
the cool plays.
The 1-2 great plays.
Yes, yes. All right, Houston at 7-5 take on the New York Jets, 4-8. This is the game we would be talking about having a horrible over-under if there weren't two other games. But DraftKings Sportsbook line, Houston -3.5 on the road. The over-under is 33.5.
Oh, yeah. All right. 33. Now we're talking.
It looks like.
You ever had 2 in 1 week?
Andy's almost upset of the week.
Sorry.
Oh, parlay, man. parlay.
You are betting on Zachary?
Yeah.
I don't blame you at all. The Jets are at home. You lost Tank Dell. The weather is another terrible weather game right now. 84% chance of rain, 19 mile an hour sustained winds during the game. Like, that's the current projection. So if the meteorologists are correct and the weather is that bad and you have a great defense, I love CJ Stroud. He's awesome.
What do you call people that study meteors?
That would be.
Well,
yeah.
Whoa.
Right.
I don't think anyone devotes their entire life.
Whoa! How dare meteors. You? Somebody
but
has
I'm on
to.
It. I'm on it.
That's astro something.
So
the meteorologist.
Saying,
oh man.
Yeah. I don't know why
Jason's mind.
I don't
got
know why
blown.
Weather people are meteorologists.
I'm just. Throwing
what are
it out
what
there.
Are people who study meat called?
Al, do you have an answer here?
It looks like it's a meteoriticist.
Oh, I stand corrected. So there are people who focus just on meteors?
A meteoriticist. That feels weird to say. I'm not saying that.
Sorry.
Right.
Sorry. That was a
meteoritics is a science that deals with meteors, and those people are meteoriticists.
Yeah. What are they?
What are they again?
Meteoriticists.
That's why no one does it.
Oh, just because they couldn't tell their friends what they do.
Oh, hey, what do you do? I'm a meteoriticist.
I'm a meteoriticist.
I study meteors.
Space, oh, so you're a meteorologist?
Space rocks.
No, I'm not a meteorologist. I'm a meteoriticist.
What if they were called weathermen?
Yeah, seriously.
A weatherologist.
Let the meteoriticists have meteorologists. Just give them that so that they can do their job better.
Yeah, what's wrong
That's
with weatherologists?
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, weatherologist.
What do you do? I'm a weatherologist. Oh, you study the weather.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm a meteorist.
I just, when I see problems in the world, I need to bring them up.
I love it. That's what we're here for.
And it was during this game. So the Texans and the Jets and the weather and CJ Stroud doesn't have Tank Dell anymore. And it's a brutal matchup for wideouts. I mean, the Jets week in and week out ruin wide receiver production. And so when you're looking at pivoting from...
They don't ruin running backs, though. So what do you do? What do...
I mean, I have to make this
Pop
choice.
Quiz hot shot.
Damian Pierce or Devin
Singletary.
Well,
let me finish my thought on Houston's wideouts, which is that I would normally be looking forward to trying Noah Brown out or Robert Woods, and I'm not doing it this week against the Jets. I'm just going to watch from the sideline. I'll play Nico Collins because, come on, you got to play him the way he's producing. And I'd play the tight end that plays, if Schultz is healthy or if it's Brevin. At running back, I play Damian Pierce. I mean, over Singletary.
Okay.
That's my answer to the question.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
The snaps were in Singletary's favor, but the opportunities were in Pierce's favor.
Just how you want it.
Keep them guessing, Houston.
this is it's a problem. It really is. And that's why I'm going to play Pierce. I hope that Pierce takes over the backfield. I think that's a possibility. Like, that could happen.
Sure.
If he starts running well, and this is a good matchup against the run, like we've said. Is it 22 fantasy points a game they give up?
What if I told you he has not run well all year?
No, I know. I know.
Goodness gracious.
And they lost an offensive lineman again, but... Oh, he's 3 a carry.
He's averaging 3 a carry.
What is this, Breece Hall?
He is sub 3 in games many times.
No, a lot of times.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Singletary's 4.1, and he was better last week on the ground, but doesn't get the goal line. But he does sometimes get targeted. So I'm back to Singletary. Thanks, Mike. The answer is I don't know.
Yes.
The answer is I do not know what they're going to do whatsoever. I loved it when Pierce was sidelined and Singletary was locked.
Yeah, those were good games.
Are you benching C.J. Stroud? Low over under, yeah. Bad weather.
Yeah, I think that there are better options this week. I know C.J. Stroud is you gotta awesome. Have,
you got to visit the Smith to bench C.J. Stroud because it's like, okay, I'll give Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I would play Wilson.
Play Russell Wilson.
That seems like the easy one.
I play Jordan Love.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That one seems easy, too, against the Giants.
I'm picking them easy. I would say Dak Prescott.
You're bold, Jay. Joshua Dobbs against the Las Vegas Raiders with Justin Jefferson back.
Sure.
Or rookie of the year, C.J. Stroud.
Although Dobbs could just get benched. I'll go Stroud there.
Gardner Minshew against the Bengals.
Yeah, I'll play Minshew. I said that out loud. That was Jason that said that.
It feels weird.
It's me, Jason. I said that. It was me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, those are the...
Baker, or...
Those are the choices.
Those are the choices.
Geno Smith off of a really hot game against the Dallas Cowboys, but he plays on the road against the 49ers.
Hey, it's me.
I'm asking the
weather. The weather is good. The weather is good over there. I think... Geno's played well. I lean Geno.
I've got an answer. I really do. I have an answer.
Your answer is wake up Sunday morning and look at the weather?
No, my answer is that if you... Like, I don't think C.J. Stroud will kill you in this game. I don't think he has upside potential. If you're a favorite with C.J. Stroud, keep playing him. If you need more than the quarterback 15 on the week or the quarterback 13 on the week, play somebody with more upside. Gardner, last week, wasn't that bad and had like 5 mistakes in the red zone in that game where it could have been much higher. Like, I think Gardner has a higher ceiling this week.
I see what you're saying. Like Jameis Winston, if you need...
If he was starting.
Sure.
Not if he's not starting, Jason.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's downside.
Breece Hall didn't practice due to an ankle. Do we have any updates on that? Yeah, questionable, didn't practice Wednesday.
We'll go Wednesday. Give him a break.
Let me check last week's.
Could his yards per carry go down if his ankle's a little sore?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Can
either.
We get this game, just give the ball to Breece and then give the ball to Damian Pierce and see what happens for science?
Punt.
Let's break some records.
I do like Garrett Wilson in this game. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I think with the return of Zach Wilson, I can live with Garrett Wilson against a bottom third pass defense.
The matchup is
at home.
Very, very good. Garrett Wilson is very, very talented. And sometimes we overblow the weather. I think Garrett Wilson's probably someone you need to start. Same with Nico Collins. He's been too good to bench him just because of weather.
Kyle is sharing.
Yeah, go ahead and
sharing a tweet here. What is this source here? Okay, so it's Zach Rosenblatt.
Oh, these are back-to-back fun ones.
From The Athletic. Nathaniel Hackett said Zach Wilson had 2 weeks off to, quote, to center himself, and said the goal this season was always for him to sit and watch, and he finally got to do that.
Wow. Achieving goals. Great job.
Also said, I'm going to have more fun than I've ever had.
Says Zach Wilson.
Dude, the ball is going to be sprayed across the field. Just flying.
He's going to have so much fun in that rain.
This is what I'm talking about. There's a chance that he just gets lucky. Mike's face says that there isn't.
Yeah, there is a chance.
All right, the Breece Hall question. You just play him, right?
Yeah, you just play him. He has the opportunities coming his way and the long speed in a game that they're probably going to be handing the ball off a lot. It hasn't been great lately, but you're still talking about 21 opportunities, 16 opportunities, 16 opportunities, 20 opportunities, 21 opportunities. He's getting the ball. We've seen several huge plays this year when he has been, you know, four times as a top 10 running back on the week. This isn't just like he's been really, 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 really disappointing on the ground with his efficiency. But his total fantasy finishes are still okay. You still start Breece Hall.
Have you guys seen the we didn't mention it in the news, but have you seen the Brandon Staley hinting at changes for the running back room?
No.
I saw
you him. Haven't seen this, Jason?
I saw him talking about Joshua Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, he's basically come out and said that
he can see he's hinting Austin Eckler
he's
too.
Hinting at competition for carries. He says it's something that you can see happening. We're going to keep exploring, making adjustments, see if we can find that rhythm I've been talking about, and that is one way to do it.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry, Austin.
He's hurt.
Not necessarily.
He's hurt or he's lost it.
Yeah. I mean, those two generally are morphed, I guess, at the back half of a running back's career.
Well,
Staley said, we know that Austin is a good running back. We just haven't found any rhythm in the last couple of weeks in the run game.
He just hasn't been good the last few weeks.
I honestly do think it's related to him trying to recover from the ankle sprain.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't help
this year. I mean, he's just doesn't matter the reason right now. He's playing bad, so it's sad.
I'm rooting for you, Eccles.
Yep. Eccles?
Eccles. I call him Eccles sometimes.
We're buds.
Yeah.
All right, one last matchup today before starts of the week. The Rams at 6-6 take on the 9-3 Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore heavy home favorite, 7 points. Over-unders 40.
Yikes.
That opened at 44. It's gone down. The weather is pushing it down. Some are calling for sustained winds of 25 miles an hour. Gusts up to 45.
Gus is up to 45?
Nope. Gusts.
Oh.
Gus doesn't get up to 45.
Oh, man. The Gus bus gets up to 45. Get out of his way.
So, you know, it turns every buddy in the passing game into a tremendous risk in this one. Lamar Jackson has been a risk anyways. He's got one top 12 finish in 5 starts. He doesn't have his best pass catching weapon in Mark Andrews. He has a 35% snap count Odell Beckham. He has an inconsistent, not practicing due to illness Rashad Bateman. And he has Zay Flowers, who, much like Elijah Moore, needs a billion targets to really be productive. Some people were asking the Zay Flowers question earlier this week. How are you feeling about Zay?
Feeling okay-ish that he is not what we had hoped from the beginning of the year, but he is still it's kind of like when we were talking about Jerome Ford, which is like I have my concerns about the player and his production, but in the field, that I think that Zay Flowers is still a flex play.
Yeah, when it comes to there's four guys here that are in the passing game that I think will end up with a PPR decent game, not great with this weather. But Zay Flowers, Isaiah Likely, Puka, and Cooper Kupp are all heavily involved in the screen games where they're, you know, the manufactured touches, and that's going to be necessary if there's 25 mile an hour winds, gusts up to 45. Obviously, the defenses are going to know that. They're not going to be playing for the deep shot, and so these screens aren't going to be super valuable. But I do think that those guys are, you know, that short area of the field where you can actually throw the ball to, the teams are going to be implementing more of that. We've seen that a lot with Zay Flowers. I trust McVay to get the ball into the hands of Puka however he can, maybe some handoffs to these type of players as well. I don't love any of them. If you've got a great option, if you're, you know, loaded, you know, like I've got a Megalobowl team where I've got Puka, but I've got, you know, 5 good options, he'll be on my bench. But I don't think you have to bench them because these are smart coaches that'll get the ball into the hands of their playmakers. But the running backs are, you know, when the passing game goes away, it's because you're handing the ball off more and more opportunities to both sides.
I'm not excited for the 16.5 implied point total Rams at all in this game. Baltimore is one of the best defenses in football at home in the weather. Dirty game. High upside for that defense, for Baltimore's defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm factoring that heavily. If this weather comes to fruition on Sunday morning, you're playing Kyren with tempered expectations. Mm-hmm. Puka with a prayer, and Cooper Kupp, I don't know, man.
Cooper Kupp, I would rather pivot off of. Like, I would start Puka over Koopa. Puka over Koopa? I would start Puka Nacua over Cooper Kupp because Cooper is still dealing with this ankle injury, hasn't completely looked himself. Puka has just been better.
Drake London over Cooper
Kupp? I would play Drake London over both of those guys.
All right.
Any, you know, Isaiah Likely?
Yeah. Yeah, I would play Likely.
The matchup, it doesn't get better than the Rams. It's just a matter of whether or not they're going to be able to exploit the middle of the field with the weather. Hopefully they are.
And Kyle is dealing with a super important start-sit question we have to answer. Lamar Jackson or Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy.
Yeah, that's Purdy for me. Purdy easily.
What a world.
Yeah. All right, into the starts we go.
Welcome to Starts of the Week, presented by Purina Pro Plan.
Well, I'll go first. My start of the week is Brock Purdy.
Nice.
He is currently the favorite to win the league MVP, but you might be struggling to start Purdy over some other more high-profile fantasy options. Here are the quarterbacks I would start over Purdy this week. Dak, Tua, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. That's it. Maybe Patrick Mahomes, if the weather looks good there, which right now it appears okay, then. But he's in that tier right now. He's the number one in expected points per passing attempt. He's got the second highest yards per attempt of all time at 9.6. The 49ers just put up 31 points against Seattle on Thanksgiving, and this time they are at home. The weather seems fine there on the West Coast, so Brock Purdy should be started if you have him. Unless you have one of those other guys.
Which one of those other guys is Tua against Tennessee. The recipe for the Dolphins' success this year, they beat up the bad teams. They're at home. 30.3 team implied total. That's a struggle to find this week with the weather. And, you know, Tua's end-of-season schedule didn't look amazing heading into the fantasy playoffs, but he's been producing. You can't stop Tyreek. Big plays around the corner. You got Achan in the passing game now. I think Tua's going to be a weak winner again.
And I have confidence in Justin Fields this week against Detroit. They are 29th in schedule-adjusted points to the quarterback position. The last three games facing the Lions, Justin Fields on the ground, 18 for 104, 10 for 132, 13 for 147, and two tutties. We haven't seen that. Oh, he's back. I mean, he did, I believe, had 100 rushing yards, but still not a tremendous fantasy output. But in this matchup, whether approving, I think that Fields gets back into the that more top tier of a fantasy quarterback.
I agree with you. I think Fields is a pretty good start this week. At running back, I've got Joe Mixon versus the Indianapolis Colts at home. Mixon last week got into the end zone twice. We're going to see what Jake Browning's got. He just has one of the most secure roles of any running back in football. 88% of the team's rushing attempts. That's second only to Josh Jacobs. 81% of the team's running back targets. He's on pace for 323 opportunities, and the Colts matchup is great. They've allowed the third most rushing touchdowns on the season, 133 rushing yards per game. That's the seventh most. Joe Mixon is a great play this week.
Well, I'm staying in the same game. I'm jumping on board the Dolphins. Devon Achane, you need him in there. When he plays a football game, good things generally happen. You know, he made it through unscathed, as far as we know. Two touchdowns last week. Blowouts, you see Mostert get time. He's the veteran. He needs time off so that the playoffs are a thing that Miami can hang around in. And so Achane got every opportunity in the second half, minus about four snaps from Mostert. It just means very, very good things. And Tennessee has been a red light, green light against running backs. They've had a handful of really good performances, and then over the last month, a handful of really bad ones. I love Achane this week, so I'm going to get in on that.
My running back start of the week, it's a plug and play, as in plug your nose and play him. It is A.J. Dillon against the New York Giants on Monday night.
Wow, no undies for that one?
He's been a top 24 running back in three straight weeks.
You don't put titanium underpants onto A.J. Dillon, it makes him slower.
Yeah, we
Commando need, is the way he needs
to
go.
They don't make him that big
either. We need to aerodynamic him as much as possible. Yeah. The last three games where he's been top 24, 18, 17, 19 opportunities.
And
he gets to play the Giants, who are 28th in schedule-adjusted points to the running back. They've allowed 19 or more fantasy points to opposing running backs in five straight games. New England, Washington, Dallas, Vegas, the Jets. So I think that you have a safe running back two with A.J. Dillon. And he could he could score a touchdown.
I doubt it.
Yeah, no, he could.
He could.
He could do it.
He could do it.
Yeah.
All right.
I doubt it, too, but he could.
Wide receiver, I've got Brandon Cooks at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Dak Prescott's ascension. It's also been correlated with Brandon Cooks being a legit fantasy wide receiver, too, over the last 2 months. Since week six, he's a top 24 wide receiver in five of seven games. He's
you gotta do the cooking by the book.
Yeah!
You can't be lazy.
It's back.
He's the wide receiver
still had that drop.
13 in total fantasy points during that span. He's the wide receiver 17 in fantasy points per game. The matchup against the Eagles is juicy. They are dead last in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. The total is 52 for the over under. Dallas, they've got a dome, and it's so cool because they're going to be able to throw without.
It's not cool, Jay. It's actually room temperature.
Oh, very nice. So the matchup is great. I mean, this is a player like Brandon Cooks I would start over all these other bad weather, you know, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, and what are you going to do with the weather, and Garrett Wilson. Like,
I am so mad that this game is not the first week of the fantasy playoffs next week. Because I have Dak City, and this is just.
It doesn't matter to you.
It doesn't matter to me this week. I'm just watching it. I just stay healthy. But it's going to be such a bonanza. I'm very jealous, and Cooks is a great play. I'm going with the risky Garrett Wilson against Houston. The Wilson-to-Wilson connection resumes. Not that it was special, but 10 targets, 65 receiving yards. That's been the average when Wilson's been out there. The ceiling, it's never very high with Zach Wilson. But he has a ton of targets. The target share is great. Houston been bleeding fantasy points to opposing passing games. They're 26th. I think Garrett Wilson can go back into your lineup.
And my wide receiver start of the week, it's Cortland Sutton against the Los Angeles Chargers. He is a touchdown machine right now. And this matchup, look, the Chargers allowing the fifth highest rate of explosive pass plays in the NFL. And Cortland Sutton has 10 receptions of 20-plus air yards. That is tied for fifth in the NFL, a defense that allows explosive plays, a wide receiver that's what he is living on this year. I think he scores another touchdown.
My tight end start of the week is Cole Kmet at home against the Detroit Lions. Kmet is quietly the tight end six on the year. He's on pace for 79 receptions, 683 yards, seven touchdowns on 96 targets. And the Lions defense is kind of unraveling. Over the last month, they're allowing 30.3 points per game. That is 30th in the NFL. They rank 25th in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to the tight ends. And last time that we saw Cole Kmet at home against Detroit last year, he was the tight end one on the week. Seven targets, 74 yards, two tutties. So Cole Kmet seems like a decent play this week.
I am going to target one of the weakest tight end defenses in football, 27th in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to tight ends. I am targeting the tight end position that ranks 7th in fantasy points scored, 6th in receiving touchdowns, 6th in yards per reception. And that is going to be Brevin Schultz or Dalton Jordan.
I like it.
It's going to be Brevin Jordan if Dalton Schultz sits again. And it's going to be Dalton Schultz, the doctor, if he is active. So I'm going Houston tight end as my start of the week.
I'm going with Isaiah Likely against the Rams. Before the bye week, we saw six targets for him. Didn't turn into a whole bunch of production, but he's running a bunch of routes. The second most on the team in that game. Lining up in the slot a whole bunch, and the matchup with the Rams is fantastic. They've allowed 60-plus yards or a touchdown to every tight end over position over the last nine games, except the Steelers when the Muth was on IR and the Seahawks, but L.A., 32nd in schedule-adjusted points to the tight end position. It's a great matchup. I know that the weather stinks, but if I don't have a top-tier tight end and I'm trying to find someone, Likely is there. And Likely's, I think, still pretty available
Likely's,
on people's waiver wires.
Likely's going to start for like three of my seven leagues this week.
There you go.
Thanks again to our sponsor. Starts of the week, it's over, but we want to thank Purina Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport provides fine-tuned nutrition for strength and stamina that enables dogs and owners to take on life's adventures together. Pro Plan Sport, high-performance fuel for active dogs. It all starts here.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom, boom, kicker of the week.
Last week on Boom Boom Kicker, I rode a weather balloon face to face with Young Wei Koo. A brouhaha broke loose, for Koo kicked me in the caboose. But thankfully, I have a 101 butt. Before it became illegal, I used the tush push like the Eagles, KOing him and Jake Elliott.
I thought the...
That was incredible.
It's a masterpiece, right? Was,
the rhymes in that one, very nice.
Thank you.
I thought that we had... I thought last week was the kind of like series finale. No?
I'm hoping this is the season... the series finale on the season.
You hope every time we do it, it's the last time?
It yeah. It might... We may be reaching that
I
point.
I think we... Once you've peaked and you've reached the pinnacle...
Once 80 to 90% of all your rhymes are butt-related... But that is normally the end of a...
But he has a 101 butt.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. He's seen it.
Oh, gosh. Goodness gracious. Let's
Scott
shut
strong
it.
Cheeks.
Let's shut it down. Speaking of, well, Mike, he has the shame tomorrow.
Huzzah.
And we'll give you the rest of the matchups as well. Tune in tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.